Oh, good morning. Good morning. House Rules Week 2. Good to see everybody here today. Listen, the weather. Everyone love the weather? Just awesome. Tomorrow it'll be hot again, so just don't get used to it. Okay. That's just the way it is. One thing that's constant is God, not the weather. You know that. So excited about what's going on, guys. Week 2 of House Rules. How many of you did some hard things this week? How many did some hard things from last week? And, you know, that's something that will continue to carry on in your life. God's going to ask you to do some hard things. And you just have to know that. It's because anytime you begin to walk in faith, that's when your faith is activated. And that's what we really do. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And so that means there are going to be things in our life that God asks us to do that we're going to have to walk by faith in. That's where the adventure is and the excitement comes in. And also at the same time where the fear does come in. But you have to know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And you know that he can go before you. And don't you want to live a life when you look back and say, hey, I took some risks and I stepped out and did something rather than play it safe. And you can shake your head and say no or yes, but I know that God's going to see different in your life because that's just who he is. How many of you know that it's terrifying to serve God, but at the same time, it's exciting to serve God? All right. Thank you for the seven people who are excited about Jesus this morning. You know, it's funny, when you get up, and I always tell people, one of the things, before I go into it, one of the things that you really have to challenge yourself with is this, especially when you get involved in church, is that you have to begin to understand the value of self-feeding. If you are coming to church just to get fed, you are missing out on a real big component in your life in Christianity. And so we're going to add this as an addendum today to House Rules and understand that self-feeding, it is an important part of your life as a Christian. You don't think twice about feeding yourself every day, physical food. But when it comes to spirituality, the church is there to partner with you as a community to help spur you on to good works in Jesus Christ. But your relationship with God is valuable and important to you as an individual, and it should be, and you should be taking the time to do that. So when you come into church, it is just a confirmation of what has been taking place in your life the whole week, and you are already filled up and walking in faith in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Church does not have to get you there. All church does is help us together get there to worship Jesus for who he is in our life, what he's doing in our life, and what he will do in our life. And so if you can find the value in self-feeding, church will have a whole different meaning where you can come in and say, okay, God, what can I give to you today rather than what can you give to me today? And I think God is asking us to do that as church, especially when you're in church planning or you're walking or you're busier in your life. Understand, listen, you got to take care of yourself and your body. Don't rely on the church to do it for you. Rely on Jesus to do it for you. Because you can walk out of here feeling great today knowing that your relationship with Jesus is where it needs to be because you know tomorrow when you get up, he's still going to be there. And Tuesday, he's still going to be there. We're here celebrating what Jesus did and that's what we're connected to. Amen. Amen. So House Rules Week 2, and I'm excited about this week because we're talking about embracing community. This is our second real core value in our life, and the value of embracing community and what that actually means for us in our life. The word of the year is rise, and if you look at it, it says move from a lower position to a higher one to come up or go up. And I believe, how many of you believe that God's calling you to go up a little bit in your life? All right. Anytime you go up, you know there's less air when you go up. And you have to learn to breathe differently. And you have to learn to trust differently. It's a lot easier to trust when you're on the ground in a car as opposed to when you're up on a 747, 36,000 feet in the air, trusting that the pilot had a good morning and that he's going to get you where you need to be. And so as you go up in your relationship with Jesus Christ or as you rise up, there needs to be a different level of faith that you have in Jesus that he's going to get you there. And sometimes it's just a matter of breathing and letting go and allowing God to do it through you. Because in order for you to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, it's going to require a jump in your life. And you're going to have to be willing to jump up with God. And that's the part that God is asking us to do. He's asking us to rise and jump up. But it requires certain things in our life. It requires a level of faith and tenacity to say, God, I want to go where you go, and I want to be where you are. And I'll stay where you stay. But to know that this is about Jesus, and we want to follow him where he's going, we don't want him to go where we're going.
So God, you come where I'm going. No, we go where he's going. And so the great thing about our relationship with Jesus is that he's everywhere at the same time. He knows where you're going. He knows where you're going to sit up. He knows where you're going to lie down. But at the same time, he understands what it means for you to be still in your life. And so maybe we're in a point in your life where you're just still before God right now and you're waiting for God to move. I believe that God's waiting for us to take some steps also at the same time. This whole idea of being still in our relationship with God, I think sometimes gets a bad rap because we get to the point where we feel like, well, if I'm still, I'm really not doing anything in my life. And in reality, what you're doing is you're understanding the value of the presence of God in your life as opposed to what God can actually do for you in your life provisionally. And what we don't understand is that God can do supernatural things for you one moment in his presence. One moment. Case in point, you can come into a worship service like this, sing a song like that, and all of a sudden your faith level is up, your eyes are open to see that God is at work in your life, and your whole perspective now has changed about your situation. And so now you can look at it differently when you go home. It may not be done, but you know that God is in control over it in your life. And so now it's different for you. So the presence of God is important. That's where you can receive the power that you need to keep going in your life. Because it's a reminder that God says, hey, I'm with you, and I'm going to give you what you need for you to do what I've called you to do in your life. That's where the power comes in. But we have to be willing to engage in the presence of God and call forth those things that are not as though they are, because sometimes they are not there. And we have to get in the presence of God and by faith call it down in our life. That's what faith is. Faith brings things into existence that are not there that we can see with our natural eyes. So as Christians, we see it differently. I don't feel it, then I do it. I do it by faith, and what happens? I see it. That's how it works for us as Christians. And most of us are getting that, and we've gotten that. Because God wants to see if we can continue to stand in it before we receive it. To trust that God is bigger and knows what we need before we even ask him. And it's really a reality of it is not about necessarily what I'm going to get from God, but the reality is, am I getting God himself? Because if I can get God himself, then it really doesn't matter what I get from him. Because we know that at his right hand there are pleasures, but if I get the grace, that's okay, I've already got God. Because when I get God, I have the power in order to get the other things that I need. Does that make sense to you? So the relationship with God, it's about connecting with him. You see, the Bible says that he's El Shaddai. He's the multi-breasted one. That means that everything that you need is found in him. And so the enemy fights you looking in other directions in order to get the things that you need. But all you have to do is connect in our relationship with God. Number one, week one is love God. And all of a sudden, those things in our life that we seem are difficult for us or that are hard aren't so hard anymore because we get him. In him, we live and move and have being. And so when we get him, we get it all. The problem is that we have to understand that there are certain things in our life that begin to vie for our attention to get us away from him. There are certain things that are going to vie for your attention to get you away from your spouse, your kids, the things that you love and are connected with. But once you see the connection and the value of that connection, you want more of that connection. Is that not correct? And so that's how it is in your relationship with God. The enemy fights your connection. And so one of the ways I embrace community is, number one, is I embrace community by making sure that I am in community in relationship with God. And number two, that I am in community in relationship with the people that God has placed in my life. The number one most important person in my life besides the Lord is who? My wife. And then after that, my kids. And then after that, well, we'll see. We'll see. But that's how God sets it up. And rather than go so far into this today, this will be in a couple weeks as we talk necessarily about our next series, but I wanted to give you just a little bit of a tidbit of what this looks like. That has to be number one in your life. And so the first thing in week two is this. We've got to accept responsibility. We've got to accept responsibility for what God has given us in our life. You've got to. The book of Luke, chapter 12, it says this. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And so if God has given you a certain gift or a certain responsibility to steward, he is going to hold you accountable for that gift. And so my gift, one of my main gifts in my life is my wife. And so I have to steward that relationship well because God has entrusted me with that responsibility to have her as my wife. That's part of my community. And so for you in your life, understanding that you have been privileged with certain things in your life that God expects you to steward in your life, and he entrusted you with those things. And so you have to accept responsibility. You can't say, well, it's not my responsibility. It's not mine. Yes, it is your responsibility. And so you have to understand, as a man, there are certain things that God has asked you to do. He has asked you to provide. He has asked you to be a leader. He has asked you to guide your family. He has asked you to do battle for your family. He has asked you to be a covering for your family. I don't want that responsibility. Well, someone else might like to take that off your hand. You got to be careful. Listen, what happens in our life is that when we abdicate responsibility, we give the enemy an occasion to come in and allow things and do things in our life that are not supposed to be there. Case in point, Adam and Eve, when they abdicated responsibility to do what they were supposed to do in the garden and they decided that we were going to eat of the tree that we were not supposed to eat, what happened? The enemy came in. The desire was there. Sin came in. Sin gave birth to what? And all of a sudden, death came as a result of it. All because of they abdicated their responsibility. And God said, listen, I placed you in the garden, steward it well. Subdue, conquer, do the things that I've asked you to do, but do not eat of the tree. That's the one thing I'm asking you to do. Okay, we're going to eat of the tree. And as a result, all of a sudden, sin enters into the world, and as a result, death. And that process of death is working in our life every single day. Because eventually, we will end up dying. But for Christians, we have hope to know that we'll be with Jesus. But he came in to reverse that curse in our life, and so that we can have life now instead of death. And so we have a hope apart from the world, but now we have a responsibility. You cannot walk around privileged without responsibility. You cannot. And there is a certain thought process out there that says, well, I'm a Christian, I'm privileged, God's going to take care of everything. And the reality is that God says, listen, I want to be in partnership with you. I want to have community with you. And your part is to be responsible for the things that I've asked you to be responsible for. I'll do my part, but I'm asking you to do your part. And once you do your part and I do my part, our relationship will go to new heights. Because that's how I set it up. It's not one-sided. It's not one-sided. And so I've already done certain things, and so I'm asking you to do things. So let me give you an example. When you're going through a difficult time in your life, and you're depressed, and you're discouraged, you're like, God, do it for me. God says, no, you pray, you encourage yourself from the Lord, you get a hold of me, you know the things that I've called you to do, and you know who you are, you do it. Don't wait for me to do it. It's God's way of saying it's time for you to grow up. You take responsibility. Lexi just turned 6 years old. She ran around Chuck E. Cheese yesterday like she owned the place, grabbing tickets from different machines that weren't hers, popping in coins and doing stuff like that. And it was okay because there were other people that are around who knew who she was and we can keep an eye on her. But she said, Dad, I can do it. And so I let her do certain things and she went around and it was fine. She's getting to that age where she can do things by herself and you let her do things by herself. And she can change herself. She can get dressed. I still do her hair now. But it's the same way in your life as a Christian. Jesus expects you to do certain things. I expect you to get up every single day and recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of whether or not you feel like it's a great day or not. It is a good day because he has made it. And then you get up and go about your business, spending time with him, doing what you need to do to get your day started, go to work, accept responsibility for the things that he's called you to accept responsibility for, and do it. And then when the enemy comes in, understanding that he's been defeated, Because you're submitted to God, you can resist him and he'll flee. You understand these things now because as a Christian, you're growing in faith. And so even talking to someone today before service, you know, some of the things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. Because of the fact that I understand that when the pressure comes in, it's just the enemy. That's just part of just what it is. And so I know that when he comes in, I know I can resist him and to know that God's going to cause breakthrough in my life to happen. Because every time that happens and the enemy comes in, it is a sign that you are doing something that you are supposed to do and that you are on the path that you're supposed to be at. And then all of a sudden, God brings breakthrough on it because the enemy always brings in a counterattack to what God has called you to do. And it's not different. It's the same. You know what it is. Every time, it's like, dude, here he comes again, man. Again. But you're wiser now. It doesn't get to you as much anymore. Like, okay, I see it. Down. The voice, the level of the voice, the volume in your life isn't as high anymore. The decibel level is down. Because that voice of Jesus Christ inside of you by his spirit is louder now. Because you've yielded yourself. That's why it pays to be in a relationship with God and be submitted and to do what he's asked you to do. Because when the enemy comes in, and he will come in, that because of your submission and where you're at, you'll be able to withstand the assignment and the attack of the enemy. That's why Ephesians 6 is so important. Because it talks about putting on the whole armor of God and standing when the day of evil comes. Because guess what? The day of evil is coming. It's coming. When Jesus was tempted into the wilderness, it was a short time, but the enemy was coming back. When did he come back? You know that he came back at different points of Jesus' life, and then he came back the greatest in the garden, where we see the warfare was so great. You know he's coming back. He's going to come back on different places and different levels. Every time you go from one level to a next level, he's going to come in and try to thwart that progress that you're going to make. But the good news is that God has already planned and designed you to go up to that next level. He's already planned. You just have to know that as you go up, he's going to try to go up with you. He's like that weird guy in the movie that when you're going up, he's the enemy who's holding on to your leg on the end, trying to hold you from getting down. And all you got to do is just kick that thing down like this and just hit him in the head and just let him drop. He's the nag. He's that guy who just won't let go. He is so upset that he lost still. So upset that he is just bent on having you not get where you need to get in your relationship with God just because he couldn't get what he wanted. And as a result, because he couldn't get up and be elevated in his relationship with God, guess what? You're not either. And that's good. Write that down. Because that's his assignment. You're not going up because I didn't get to go up. And in reality, you're already seated in heavenly places. It's just a matter of coming into agreement now that you're already there and that what God has designed and purpose in your life will come to pass and fruition in your life, and you have to remind him of that. Listen, bro, you're already defeated and down. Okay? And sometimes you got to shake. Sometimes you got to shake a little harder. But eventually, he'll go. And so to the degree that you want to see breakthrough in your life will be the degree that you can withstand him when that day of evil comes in your life. It's going to come. But stand firm. God will come through for you. Pastor Richie, does it ever change? Not really. Because his ways don't change. But we know that God is greater than his ways. And you can be confident to know that if you whooped him on that level, that when you get up to this next level, you're going to do it again. Because of who Jesus is. Why do I want to go up to the next level? Well, we're in the wrong place. Wrong place. Because whether you realize it or not, We are going up eventually, but in life, we are going up. God has called you up. That's why for God, it is so disheartening when he sees his kids stay in a position where they're not called to stay in. They're not growing. They're not maturing. They're not operating in levels of faith. It is disheartening because he sees the bigger picture and he sees you dressed in white. He sees you with him in heaven. He sees you victorious. And so when you're not really walking in that in your life and you're not really walking in victory in your life, it's disheartening because what he says is that as my kid, you're walking in a position I never called you to walk in. It's too low for you. What are you doing? Come up with me. Let's reign over this thing. That's why God won't let you stay the way you are right now. And you're irritated by it, but he won't let you stay that way. He's trying to get you to spread your wings a little bit so you can fly. Open up. He's trying to get those wings that have been clipped, that have been bent, that have been broken, to get healed and open up so you can expand and start to fly. That's where the fight is. But you got to open up. And God's going to get in. He's going to pry that stuff open. I'm telling you right now. The more you hold and the more you try to get in, God's going to say, I'm going to put a crowbar of my spirit right in there, and I'm going to stop you from imploding and self-destructing, and I'm going to get in there, and I'm going to cause it to come open in your life, because I've called you to soar, not to die in your life. And you can fight it. Can't win. Can't. Because God has the ability to come in and put a doorstop in that'll cause you to stay open to him. Calls you that way. That's just who he is. And we think God forgets. God does not forget the things that he wants to do in your life. There are promises that he has already declared to you in your life already. They might be on hold because of whatever it is happening in your life, but they have been declared in your life. And that what the enemy tries to do in your life will not come to fruition. Won't. And you have to get tenacious in your faith to know that if God promised it to me, it will happen regardless of my life. And you cannot let the enemy keep you in a drunken stupor in our life, because some of us, we walk in that drunken stupor of, it's a malaise of, I don't know if he will, I don't know if he can, and our faith isn't where it needs to be. Our eyes are just glazed over with stuff, but God wants to open our eyes to see that he's actually bigger than we're at in our life. That's why we say here, it's always bigger than you. It's always bigger than you. So you cannot afford to stay the same way. You cannot afford to stay closed. You've got to open up. You can't. Because in order for you to rise, God has to get you up on his wing so that you can go with him. But he's got to get in there with you. How many have ever been just maybe in a situation with relationship with God or a season of your life, and you just felt like God was just blowing his wind behind you, like you were just soaring through some stuff. I don't know how I'm getting through this thing right now, but I'm getting through it. That's how God wants you to live. That's why one of the verses we talked about in the first week was, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. As a Christian, the hope that you have causes you to rise above situations in your life so you don't have to faint and go back. God forbid that you go back, but we can stay up. We don't have to faint. Maybe you're here and process with this for you. Maybe you think that, well, it's supposed to be like that where I'm just supposed to faint. Ever see that commercial with the fainting goats? People just go up to them and they just, they just go over. There's nothing really happening to them. You just go over like in vicinity and they just fall over. It's just what it is. Sometimes in our life, I think we get that way. It's like we're afraid of pressure. We're afraid of things happening, and things aren't really happening, but we just faint because, oh, God, it might happen. And we're not really living. We're not. What we are is we're dying. And spiritually, our muscles are beginning to atrophy in our life. And rather than just embrace life and what God has called life to be, we'd rather turn the other way because we think that things are going to happen to us and we're scared about what the result is going to be. Is that really what a Christian is supposed to live like? Craig, is that really what you're supposed to live like? This idea of embracing community, is that how God wants the world to see his kids? That when we walk into a job or we walk into a place that's new in our life, that we walk around, we're like, well, if I make it, I'll make it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just here because I might have the talent. You want to be around, and you laugh because you see just the silliness of really the reality of the way we walk in our lives sometimes. We act like the enemy and the devil's bigger than God is, and that we have no authority in our life. We have no confidence. We forget the things that God has done in our life. And then we walk around thinking that, well, if he will, if he will, if he not. Rather than just embracing the opportunity, say, you know what? If I fail in this thing or it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. God is still bigger. All things work together for good of them to love God or call according to his purpose. I'll step out and do something I'm really maybe not qualified for, but I'll get the job. I'll just go in and do it and embrace the opportunity that's there just because I know God is bigger in my life rather than just settle and say, nah, and maybe it won't happen, but say, no, maybe it will happen. And in the process, maybe God will teach me something and I'll really see that there is no failure in God. None. That your relationship with God is fail-safe in this, that God will bring good out of every situation in your life. Because that's who he is. And the enemy wants you to think that it'll never happen because of that mistake or that problem. And the reality of it is that he's a liar. And that God has to come through because that's who he is. He's good. And if all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, that means all things. Look back over your life right now, and you can see, oh, man, he worked that out. He worked this out. And you know what? It really, okay, I didn't do great there, but he worked that out. And I didn't fail there. And you begin to realize that failure is just part of the process. Come on. It's just part of the process. It's just, or your idea of what failure is different than God's idea. I failed it. Okay, maybe you didn't get to where you needed to be, but is it really failure? God raised it up and used it as a trophy in your life. And so now that when people come into your life, they say, listen, God took that, he made this out of it, and I'm standing here because of the goodness of God. And then people say, well, God can do that. God is good. Yeah, because that's what God does. But the enemy tries to hold you down in mistakes, but you got to rise above it to know that if God did it then, he'll do it again, and he'll bring it back around for his glory and his good. That's just the way it is. You know the cycle. You know how it is. The problem is, it's like, oh, here it goes again. But the longer you work in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the easier it becomes to know, ah, he's with me. He's with me. And so rather than me knocking knees so much, I can continue to walk in confidence. Because the next season or next place is going to require a new level of faith. And I'm about to walk in again, trusting in faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. But guess what? I'm stronger now. I'm bigger now. I know who God is more. And if God did it for me then, he'll do it for me again. That's the kind of faith that you have to have in your life, because that's how God works in seasons. One season ends, another one begins, and you have to have faith that the God of the last season is going to be the same God of this season, and that you're going to see God do it again the way he did it then. And so that's your faith in action. But it never requires you to stay still. It always requires you to keep moving out on the water. Keep moving out on the water. That's how it works, Peter. Keep moving out on the water. That's where God is. He's there. Well, isn't God on land? Yes, he's on the other side. But listen, a lot of the times, he's out there, and you really can't, you can see in, faintly in the distance, but what you have to rely on is the voice. I just hear him calling me. I got to go. And regardless of what's around you, regardless of the enemies, the sharks, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. I got to go. He's with me. It doesn't matter. That's where you have to be and get to in your life. It does not matter what is happening around you, who's saying what, what's taking place, that I am going in my relationship with God because he is calling me. He's calling me. And in the end, here's the responsibility aspect of it. You are responsible for your relationship with God. You are in the end. And if God says, listen, there are certain things I asked you to do, and you say, well, I didn't go. It was scary. Other people, I don't care what other people were doing. I asked you to do it. No, Lord, no. I don't want the responsibility. And you know, no, I don't want it. But yes, Jonah, I'm asking you to go to Nineveh. Ooh. God doesn't, it's so part of God's DNA, he doesn't relent on what he's asked you to do as a person. Even when you sometimes forget, he does not relent. Jonah, you're going. Noah, you're building the ark. Go through case by case in the Bible. Peter, we're going to use you to start the church. No, Lord, no. Yes, Jesus, you can't die. I forbid it. Get thee behind me, Satan. This is why I came. I know my purpose. And so God's going to ask you to do certain things, just like he did and ask certain people to do certain things in their life. Accept responsibility. Listen, we can run the other way. There are times in my life I can remember I said, I'm not, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm not doing that. Guess what? I did it. Hold on. Eventually, and I'm still doing it. Because there are certain things that God asked you to do that only he can do through you, supernaturally. You got to accept responsibility. And so when God asked Melissa to do certain things for her life and her family, guess what? God's not holding Malia responsible. God's holding Melissa responsible. But we've got to get to a point in our life where he truly is still first. And that's a tough place to get. Because that means that God has got to get to a point in our life where he begins to strip away those things in our life where he's not first. And you know what that looks like, because that God will begin to strip things back and say, okay, it's between me and you. This is what I've asked you to do. And what we have a tendency to do in our life is that when God asks us to do things that are hard, we say, oh, man, I feel like God's asking me to do this. All of a sudden, what do? We look around. Okay, well, who's this going to affect? Who can I ask maybe to do it, or besides me? But who can I? All of a sudden, we start looking this way for comfort, right? You look for comfort. Okay, all right. And all of a sudden, God's like, what are you doing? It's between me and you. It's not about comfort. It's about what God has asked you to do. And if there's one thing in your life that you can bet that God does not forget, it's what he asked you to do. One thing that God wants from you is obedience over sacrifice. So we can do things in our life that we think we're good. God, those are good things. But are you doing the things that I've asked you, the thing I asked you to do? Remember that thing? Well, yeah, I'm getting to it. No, that thing. But and you know, until you get to that thing, there's not real peace there. Because you're operating halfway. And eventually, you'll get there. And when you get there, there's peace. That's where God wants you to be. And that's where the journey of faith is. It's the point of where God asks you to do something, and the end point is when you're actually doing it. The journey is between point A and point B. Are you getting there? God wants you to grow. God wants you to develop. And God wants you to bear fruit in your life. Absolutely. One of the things that he also wants you to do is to bloom where you're planted. If God gives you an opportunity to be somewhere, be there, work that thing, work that job, whatever it is, until God decides to move you on somewhere else. Bloom where you're planted. I don't want to stay. I understand that. But there are certain things that I'm doing in your life, and when it's time, you'll know when to go. That's who God is. Because that season, there's a certain requirement, and God's doing something. And listen, he's always doing something for the next one. Because it's from faith, faith, from glory to glory, one season to the next. That's how it works. Bloom where you're planted. Learn the gift, learn the skill, whatever it is he's trying to teach you. Sometimes you don't even know what he's trying to teach you. But you'll get it. And then when God says it's time to go, it's time to go. And God knows what that means for you. Let's all stand to our feet if we could. One of the toughest things for us to do sometimes is to work on our relationships. It's tough. And even so much harder is sometimes our relationship with the Lord, because it requires priority, it requires time, it requires really spending time and trying to hear what he has to say to us, is trying to discern what he's trying to do in our life, and really building that relationship with him. And one of the ways that we do that is just by being committed to building that relationship with him, being consistent. Being consistent. Because we know the value of that relationship is so much more important than anything else that we're doing in our life, because life comes out of that relationship. If I'm not right in that relationship or growing in that relationship, that means there are other things in my life that are going to suffer and not grow either. Because he designed it to where we love him first. And then we love one another. So my relationship with God has to be growing in order for me to be able to love correctly in my life. In other words, let's put it this way, in order for people to have the right place in my life. So they're not elevated to a position above God. So that when God asks you to do something, that we can do it without having to ask for permission for someone in our life who is close to us. God asks you to come into relationship with someone, but that doesn't mean that God does not have a relationship with you and ask you to do certain things in your life. And so it's not about permission. Hey, what do you think? Can I do this? Well, the answer should be, well, what do you think God is asking you to do? I don't know. Yeah. What does God ask you to do? And then that person can maybe can give you some counsel. And hey, this will pray about this. But they're not God. And so you have to be in a position where you're hearing that correctly. And so a good friend, a good person will always push you into a relationship with God first. And as a result, then you'll be able to understand what a right relationship will be like with me or you. Because we can't lean on each other for the life that God wants to bring to us. We can lean on each other in hard times as far as, hey, encouraging one another, spurring one another on, and doing that stuff, but not to ever thwart God's purpose. That's not why that's there. And so if I'm holding on to someone and they're holding on to me, first of all, we're out of a right relationship with God. And second of all, we're creating what we call that an unhealthy dependency in our life that does not need to be there. And so only you can assess what embracing community looks like for you. Yes, in a relationship with God, but in your relationship with other people in your life, what does that look like for you? And God is so good and so faithful that He'll show you what that looks like. Because God wants you to be healthy. Isn't that what it's about? Does God want His kids to be miserable and lonely or happy and healthy? But we don't see that sometimes. We're like, no, I want to be miserable and lonely. Hold me. We do that. Hold me. Eat with me. Let's watch a movie together. Oh, let's drown out our sorrows together, whatever it is. It doesn't mean we don't go through things in our life, but the principle is that our barometer and our North Star has to be Jesus. So the first thing that we ask people is this. When they come up and they say, hey, listen, we have issues, there are a few things we ask them. Number one is this. How's your relationship with God? How is it? How are you doing emotionally? Oh, man, that word again. Will you stop saying? No. How are you doing emotionally? How is your relationship with God? Well, it could be better. Okay, well, let's start there. And second, well, what kind of community are you in? Well, I don't really like people. Well, we can work through that. We can work. There's a place, right? There's a place. And then third, are you serving somewhere? What are you doing? If those things, if you can't answer confidently in those things, then probably we need to address some of that. Because if those things are in order, guess what? Your life will be in order. And to be able to serve God with an upright heart and not worry about whether or not what everybody else is doing, but you've got a right relationship with God. You're in community with people. You're using your gifts. Once those things, guys, are in place in your life, then you can feel confident and be at peace in your life to know that, hey, God's working on me, but I'm not unhealthy. There's not unhealthy patterns. There are not things that I'm gravitating to that are unhealthy for me. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the time that you spend with us. We thank you for your faithfulness. And in reality, God, we just thank you for our relationship with you. Thank you for bringing us into relationships so that we can really have an understanding of what that looks like, because we know that when that is right, other things in our life will be right. Thank you, God, for moving people around, shifting their emotions around, God, bringing healing, helping to prioritize people, understanding, God, the value of community and what that looks like. And in reality, embracing responsibility and the things that you've called us to embrace in our life. For every person in here, God, for the things that you've called them to, Lord, I pray that you would help them to stop running from those things. Because we know that it'd be easier for them, easier for us. Thank you, God, for your relentless love for us. Thank you, God, for you keep chasing us. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence in our life. I pray that you would continue to lead people where they need to go. And let me just ask you this question real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you just feel like right now my relationship with God is not where it needs to be. It is not where it needs to be. I feel like I've been running a little bit, and I'm not where I need to be. But I also feel like God is calling me to and drawing me back into, hey, a right relationship with Him, because He's got good things for me. And you say, hey, will you pray for me that I can really in faith turn to God and say yes to Him? Because I'm struggling right now with the yes, because I don't know what that really entails. And you'll just real quick lift up your hand and say, Pastor Richard, will you pray for me? I see it. I'm trying just to get back to where I need to be. I know He's got good things for me. I see Him. Thank you. Father, I thank you for those people even here now who have been running a little bit, God, but not too far where you can't see Him. And I thank you, God, for your ability to draw back and bring people into a right relationship with you again, because we know that you're good. I pray that you would help them to really come under submission to what you've asked them to do. I thank you, God, and as they do that, you're going to bring healing to their emotions. You're going to bring healing to their life so that you can use them the way you want them to be used. I thank you, God, that you're not going to leave them the same, that you're going to change them, that you're going to bring them into the place that you've called them to be, a good place. God, I come against fear in Jesus' name, that fear that would hold them back from the fear of what might be, and that the enemy would not have an occasion to come in and wreak havoc in their mind, but God, you would help them to submit unto you because you're a loving God who has good things for them. And I pray as they do that, God, that you would just show up on their behalf, even this week. Yes. Show them, God, that you love them, you have a plan for their life, and it's a good plan. It's a good purpose. And that as they're obedient to you, God, you're going to bring blessing in their life beyond their wildest imagination. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.